Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and we will be glad in it. Amen. It's a decision that we make, and we shall rejoice. We are not going to walk by sight. We will walk by what the Word says. Amen. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when we stop looking at what is happening around us and we just focus on the spiritual side, on things that are already, the Bible says that is what life and peace. And Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 it says, and you shall keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. So that person decides to say, I'm not going to walk by what I can see, but I am trusting you. We had a wonderful prayer session this morning, and I think what we spoke about this morning, for me, it was what the Lord wanted us to talk about, and we praise God that he allowed us to go that route. It's ministry. That's what church is all about. Amen. Church is about ministry, ministering to us, ministering to people. Praise be to God. And so we praise God for that. We will see again today what we spoke about in terms of the fact that what God is trying to achieve through the series that we are busy with is that we understand that we've already God everything. It's not about getting. We already have everything that the Father has given to us. That's what this is all about. So now, when we go through this way, it's not then going to be an attempt to get this. I need to get this. No. No, you'll see, I'll read you at the end the book of James, first chapter of the book of James, where the Bible says, he who lacks wisdom, let him ask of our generous God. Generous God. He's generous. And then it says, he will not rebuke you for asking. So when we talk about what we have and us needing a spirit of wisdom and a revelation, we must keep in mind that our Father is generous. He's not trying to keep these things from us, but he generously shares these things with us. And when we ask of this wisdom from him, he will not rebuke us for asking. So then we go with boldness and we ask that God fulfills his way. Praise the Lord. We are busy with our series entitled We Are Complete in Christ. Today we are doing part number 7. And the interesting thing that we will see today is that not that just we are complete in Christ, but Jesus Christ chose that he be incomplete without us. Get that right. We are complete in him, but then he chose that he would be incomplete without us. So we complete Jesus Christ as his body.
Amen.
So we are complete in him, but we also complete him. So when he wants to do things, he will use us as his body, because we complete him. He needs us. Jesus Christ needs you and I. It was his choice. He decided that I am going to fill everything, everything. And he said, I am going to have these people complete me as I fill everything. So your significance goes very, very, very far. You are very significant in this work that the Lord is doing. You are very significant. Don't look down upon yourself. That is what we're going to see today. But let's go back to see, what are we talking about when we say we are complete in Christ? We said our foundation scripture is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. I am praising God that the more I read this passage of scripture, I'm getting more and more revelation on this. This is called meditating on the scripture. Going it over and over and over again. And every time you go through it, the Lord highlights something. Next time you go through it, he will highlight something else. You must then listen to those things that the Lord highlights as you go through the word on that particular day, because that is the now word. So don't just read it as, you know what, a ritual. So every time then when we go through this passage, listen to it and listen to what the Lord highlights to you. There will be things that you will highlight through me, but there will be things that he will highlight to you as well. So have that open heart. Praise the Lord. Let's read from verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, not in the works of the law, built up in faith in what he did for us. It says, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. We said the devil uses information to mislead people, so we need to be careful of what we listen to. Verse 9, for in him, this is in Christ now, in Christ, dwells all the fullness, not a portion, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is powerful. This is powerful. And then he says, and you are complete in the one who, in whom dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. You are complete in him. You are accepted by Christ. He died for your sins. Therefore, you are accepted by God the Father. And you are accepted by the Holy Spirit. You are worthy of Christ. You are worthy of God the Father. You are worthy of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't think, oh, thank you, Jesus, for all that you did for me. I thank you for that. And you think that's it. Now I need to find a way of convincing the Father. What do I do, by the way? Maybe I need to go to church every Sunday. Maybe I need to do this and that and that. to please the Father. Okay, then if I do that, I'll please the Father. Now, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, hey, he's the sensitive one. So what will I do now? Maybe I won't do this and that because I will quench him. When I quench him, he cannot move anymore. You know what? Don't look at yourself like that. Understand that in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead. So what it means, if you are accepted by Christ, you are accepted by the Father, you are accepted by the Holy Spirit. That is why the Holy Spirit is inside you, and he is inside you forever. Amen. He is never going to leave you. When you do funny stuff, he does not jump out. So when you do funny stuff, know that you have help within you. So yeah, you finding yourself doing funny stuff, call on the help of the Holy Spirit who's inside you. Holy Spirit, help me here. He's not going to say, sort yourself out and I'll come back. He won't do that. He is there with you all the time. So we are complete in Christ. And then he says, this Christ is the head. The head. The head of all principality and power. And today, that is what we are talking about. We are talking about this Christ being the head of all principality and power. We will see today what Paul said about this Christ being the head. What does it mean to us? Because that's the revelation. Apostle Paul prayed for the church. Let's look at what Apostle Paul prayed. We'll start just from verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is, one, what is the hope of his calling? Number one, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Where are they? In the saints. Number two, and number three, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, and according to the working of his mighty power? Jesus Christ is the head of all principality and power. And we are talking about today the power. He is praying, Paul here. He is praying that we may understand the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. And this power is according to the working of his mighty power, which he used when he raised Christ from the dead. So now Paul wanted us to know not only God's power, but also the greatness of God's power. And then the exceeding greatness of God's power. We need to get to understand that power. So we must receive the revelation through our spirits to grasp even a little of God's exceeding great power. So this exceeding greatness of God's power is toward us. What does it mean? It means that it is for us. And it is for our benefit. This exceeding greatness of God's power is toward us. So we need to go beyond getting glimpses of God's power to having the revelation that it is for us and it is at our disposal. It doesn't benefit us to believe that God has power if we don't believe that it will work for us. You remember the leper that said to Jesus, "Lord, I believe that you can heal me." But that leper was not sure if the Lord was willing to heal him. What does that mean? This person believed that God has got all the power. Jesus had all the power. But he was not sure if Jesus was willing to use that power for him. Now, that's where the challenge is with believers. We believe in the greatness of God's power. We believe that he has got this great power, but we don't believe that it is toward us. We don't believe that it is for us and for our benefit, and it is at our disposal. And then we get limited, unfortunately. We don't see the power of God working in our lives. So this great power of God is effectual only for those who believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Not those who work to get the power. Those who believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So we need to receive how? By faith. Placing our faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. Now, verse 19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" The phrase "according to" means in keeping with, in agreement with. So the point being made is that the power that we believers in Christ now have is the same power that God the Father used to raise Christ from the dead. The same power. We don't have less power. The same, exactly the same power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Think about that. The devil was excited, believing that he has killed this person that was demonstrating the power of God, and he thought he had him. And the Bible says, unfortunately, the devil did not know the plan of the Father. If he knew what was the plan of the Father, he would not have killed Jesus Christ. So what happened there? Then he thought he was done. And when Christ was dead, he was raised from the dead. So the power to raise the dead is the power that we have inside us.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Verse 20, "which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." So we don't just have a little bit of power from God. We have the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. It is more than enough power to accomplish God's will in our lives. So now, what has God called you to do? What is God's call upon your life? What is God's will for your life? Know that inside you there is enough power to be able to do that will of God. You don't have to beg God for that power. It is already inside you. That is why Apostle Paul is praying that your mind be enlightened. And we saw last week when we spoke about that, that it's talking about our imagination being enlightened to the point that we can imagine this, we can see this. Because what God says, what you see is what you will get. You will never get what you don't see. You must first see it, and then it will come to pass. So now Paul is praying that we will see this power. We will picture this power. Picture this power. So picture this power. The easiest thing to do is to go to Jesus Christ. Look at Jesus Christ doing the works of healing, setting the captives free. Picture that. And see yourself. As you imagine yourself doing that, what are you doing? You are using your imagination. And as you are using your imagination, you are allowing the Holy Spirit to drop the revelation into your heart. Because this power is already within us. So the power to do anything. You know, Jesus Christ, when he had to pay taxes, temple taxes. What did he do? He told Peter to go and catch a fish. And out of the mouth of that fish, the money that was enough to pay for that temple taxes was there. When the disciples had fished the whole night and they could not find anything, he said, throw your nets. And when they threw the net, the fish came in large numbers. That's the power that we have inside us. So we have that power to do that. Jesus Christ, he touched a dead man and he raised him from the dead and he gave him back to his mother. When he touched Peter's mother-in-law who had fever and she was healed and she began to serve them. You look at that power flowing like that, you understand that it's the power that is in me. And when you look at the book of Acts and you see the apostles, the miracles that followed the preaching of the gospel of grace, you realize that it's the same power that is in me. The Bible says the power was so much in such a way that the people around, the people that could hear the voice of Peter, they were healed as he was walking around preaching the word. It's that power. It's that power that is inside you and I. And we need that power to be activated. And how do we activate it? By meditating on it. Meditating on it, and the Holy Spirit will give us the revelation and we'll be able to move in that power. So don't try to get God to do things for you. Understand that inside you already you have this great power. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Paul was praying that we would get a revelation of the power that we already have. We have raising from the dead power on the inside of us. We just need to realize it is there already and learn how to use it. Now verse 21. It says, now when God raised Jesus Christ, he set him far above all principality. You remember in the book of Colossians, we talked about Jesus Christ being the head of all principality. So God set him above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That is how exalted Jesus is. But remember now, I said something earlier. I said to you, Jesus Christ then chose that without us, he would be incomplete. So he cannot exercise this dominion without us. He needs you and I. We said the power that is now working in us as believers is the same power that worked in Christ to raise him from the dead. We also said everything we have as believers in Christ comes from our union with him. You'll remember that. We talked about the inheritance. That the inheritance that we have, it belongs to Christ. Therefore, what is true of him is true of us too. When we say Christ is far above all principality, we get to experience walking and living far above all principality, all power and might and dominion because of him. So in the same way that Jesus is now, the glorified Jesus, after Satan was taken out, after Jesus Christ took the keys from the devil, this glorified Jesus Christ, the same way that he is now, above all principality and power and might and dominion, so are we. So in this passage, we see that we have come to share in Christ's throne, to partake in the authority that throne represents, and to exercise divine power and dominion. God doesn't do it for us, Bazalwane. We do it. We need to get that right. He is not going to do it for us. We do it by the power that he has given to us. There is no place in the New Testament where we are told to ask God to do something about the devil. No place. But rather, the church is told to do something about the devil. What is the devil doing? You have the authority. You have the power.
Hallelujah.
Fix the situation. Don't wait for God. Use your authority. Practice. Practice. Be like a doctor. Run a practice. What does that mean? Exercise your authority. The doctor, when he's there in his practice, he exercises his knowledge. And he does this and that to help people to be well. So you practice then your authority. Use your authority. Practice it. Practice it. You go to the doctor today, you don't get well, you go again tomorrow, you'll say, let's try this today. Because they practice. And that practice is not trying. That practice is exercising what they know. So if this doesn't get it right, this will get it right. If this doesn't get right, this will get it right. Practice your authority like a doctor. A doctor will tell you to take medication within this period of time, this many times. You know what? He's practicing his knowledge of medicine. So you too, practice your knowledge of the power of God. Speak the word of God. How is the power of God released? It's released by speaking. Declare life. Declare death to the work of the enemy. Declare life to the work of the Lord. Declare life for you. Practice your power. Praise be to God. Now, why is it like that? It is because delegated authority. Think about that. Delegated authority has been given to the church over the works of the enemy. All the works of the enemy. Jesus said it as well in the book of Luke chapter 10 verse 19. He said, you will trample on serpents and scorpions and they shall not hurt you by no means. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of heaven already, the kingdom of God, when he was here on earth. That is where we walk. So we have what? Delegated authority. This reminds me of the story about the Department of Transport, which has got the authority. The authority to deal with anybody that does not follow the rules of driving on South African roads. If you do not follow the rules and regulations of the Department of Transportation, they have the right to act against you. But then, what the Department of Transport has done, they have delegated authority to traffic officers. And you can find this young little girl that has gone through school and has learned how to exercise her authority as a traffic officer. It doesn't matter how tiny she may be, how weak you may think she is. When she stands, when she comes out from the bushes, and there is a big truck coming down there that is speeding, and she comes out of the bushes and she jumps and she raises her hand and she points to the side. It doesn't matter how big that truck is. It doesn't matter how big the driver of the truck is. When this young girl raises her hand, she raises the hand of the authority that is backing her up, the Department of Transport. So it doesn't matter how weak you may be. It is the authority behind you that gets the work done. The same thing with you and I. It doesn't matter how we may be in the flesh. It is the authority behind the flesh that is standing there being used to declare the word of God. So take your eyes off yourself, your capability, and put your eyes on the authority that stands behind you. Forget about you. It's about the authority, the delegated authority that you have. So speak in confidence, speak with boldness, declare with power, and as you do that, the power of God will flow. So, Paul's prayer is that the church may be enlightened to this fact. That's what Paul was praying. Verse 22. And he put all things, praise be to God, and he put all things under his feet, the feet of Jesus Christ. Everything is under the feet of Jesus Christ. He put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be the head over all things to the benefit of the church. Paul also used this analogy of the church being the body of Christ in his letter to the Corinthians. You can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 12 to 27, as well as chapter 15 verses 25 to 28. And here Paul expounded on this by now placing Christ as the head and the church as the body. And we are saying, he put all things under his feet, and feet are part of the body. So Christ is above all things. If Christ is above all things, now we are seeing here that Christ is what? The head. If Christ is the head does not operate without the body. So it means if Christ is made to be above all, and everything is under his feet, so everything is under the feet of the church. What you see here is that this emphasizes the lordship of Christ over the church, just as the head dictates and controls the physical body. Now, when anything is placed under the feet of a person, then every single part of that person's body is positioned above it. Therefore, everything is placed under us as the body of Christ. So practice, that's the word for you today. Practice your authority. Practice your authority. Keep on practicing your authority. Don't give up. Apply your knowledge of the Word of God. Practice it over and over, over and over, and you will eventually get it done. You may not see it right away from the beginning. Be like that doctor that will say, we've tried this, this didn't work, so let's go to this now. We've tried this, this doesn't work, let's go to this now. And then the doctor may even refer you to a specialist. Let's go and see a specialist and allow the specialist to practice. So just practice. Keep on practicing the power and the authority of the Lord. And as you keep on practicing it, the breakthrough will come. Because that power works. It may be just that you have not applied it exactly as you should be applying it. So, but if you keep on practicing it, you will eventually get it right. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. So this illustrates that resurrection power is not just a reality for Christ. Christ practiced that power. He used it. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He fed the multitudes. He practiced this power that he had. So, we're saying this illustrates that this resurrection power is not just a reality for Christ, our head, but that every member of Christ's body, that includes you and I, every member of Christ's body has raising from the dead power and authority within them too. Practice that. That's your part. That's your part. And now we are on the last verse of Ephesians chapter 1, which is now verse 23. It says, it's talking about the church now. It says, which is his body. Look at this. The fullness of him. Woo-wee. Look at this. The fullness of him. So Christ, without you and I, he is not complete. What are we saying with this series? We are saying we are complete in him. But now we are also learning now here that he himself is not complete without us. There is a unity here, a strong unity here. So we stand up in heaven, we are accepted because of him. Here on earth, Christ can perform miracles because of us.
Amen.
He cannot heal the sick. He cannot raise the dead. He cannot feed the poor. He cannot preach the gospel without us.
Amen.
So we just have to avail ourselves. Just avail ourselves. And say, Lord, here I am, and let him do that. Just keep, just rise up in the morning and say, Father, thank you for today. Here I am, use me. Here I am, use me. And as you do that, you will see, because he is completed only through you, he will then show up through you. Praise be to God. Now, this is an amazing statement we find here of our union with Christ Jesus. Paul stated, the church is Christ's body, the completion of him, This is now from today's English version. The completion of him. Now, just as a king is not complete without his kingdom, Jesus Christ has chosen to be incomplete without his church. His body filled with himself. The conclusion today. We are concluding this chapter of Ephesians, chapter 1. And what can we say as we conclude? We can say, if you remember from the beginning, the Bible talks about a lot of stuff that we have. We have all the blessings in heavenly places. We have received the wisdom. We have been made righteous. We are pure and without blame before God in love. All those things. And then towards the end of the chapter, we have now learned that actually we have been called into his calling. Remember that part? When he prayed that, I am praying that you'll understand the hope of his calling. So we have been called into his calling. And with us being called into his calling, what does that mean? It means as he chose, that without us he's not going to be complete. We complete him. And we have the inheritance that belongs to him inside us. And we've learned that his power is within us. So now in conclusion, we have great power within us, and there is no match for the power that is within us. We just have to practice it. You must take that word, use that word, practice your power, practice your authority, practice. That's a word for you today. Practice. Praise be to God. This is the same power that God used when he raised Jesus from the dead. We are seated in heaven with Christ, far above all principality. Praise be to God. The devil cannot withstand the power we have. Think of the traffic officer. That traffic officer is begged by the Department of Transport. That traffic officer uses the authority of the Department of Transport. That person does not use his or her authority. So don't use your authority. Don't go before God and say, I have been doing this and that, therefore you must listen to me. Don't go to the devil and say, in my name, or in the name of my works. No. Go there and say, by the authority given to me by God Almighty, I tell you, Satan, to do this. Praise be to God. Having the revelation of what we have will make it possible for us to use our authority. Hence, this prayer for us. We need a revelation. Now, that revelation comes from God when we ask for it. And I mentioned this earlier, James chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking.
Amen.
Last scripture, Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves. until they grow up. Even though they actually own everything their father had. Jesus Christ died. The Bible says the testament only becomes effective when the testator dies. Jesus Christ died to give us power, supernatural life. He died. But if we are still babes, if we are not growing up in this knowledge, we are not going to be different from slaves, even though everything that belongs to Jesus Christ belongs to us. That's what this word is all about. We have much more than what we can ask or even think about. Praise be to God. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for opening our eyes through your word. Thank you, Father God, for preaching this word to our ears. We hear it, Father, and we receive it, Father. We thank you, Father God, that as we act on this word, Father, your word will carry out that which you sent it to carry out. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And now, Father, we pray, Father God, for boldness. We pray that, Lord, we be bold to act on your word, Father God, with full understanding that it is not our authority that brings to pass the results, but it's your heavenly authority of God Almighty. And your word tells us that it's the exceeding greatness of your power, which is equal to what you used when you raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So Father, I pray that we will have boldness to act on your word, and as we act on your word, we expect that word to be fulfilled, because it carries your life. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.